Good morning, everyone. Merry Christmas to you all. So glad that you're. Thank you. So glad that you're here this morning. We're gonna just jump straight into worship and lighting of the candle. But so glad you're here. The God who is abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness and slow to anger and merciful took on flesh to dwell among us, so that we could be with Him forever. So that is why we are here this morning, to rejoice and remember and be glad in that. So I'm going to invite Lindsay and Garrett Smith up for our candle of hope.
Good morning and Merry Christmas. The fourth candle of Advent is called the Angel Candle and the Candle of Peace. It reminds us that Jesus comes to bring peace to the world and to people's hearts. Without Christ, there is no peace in the world. Isaiah prophetically foretold, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." This candle also represents the angel song proclaiming Christ would be the bringer of peace into a dark world. In Luke 2, verse 8 through 11, it says, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying,
"Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests."
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for this Christmas season and the opportunity to celebrate the birth of Your Son, Jesus. We thank You for sending Your Son into a broken world to give us hope, love, joy, and the peace that surpasses all understanding. We know that no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in, we are never far from the peace of Christ. We thank You and we love You. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you, Smith family. Appreciate that so much. This is Angels Sunday, as they have pointed out so beautifully. Also, as we begin our time together, worshiping our Savior this morning, I want to remind you about tonight. Very, very special hour. We are not meeting at the usual 6 p.m. time. We're meeting at 5:30 for a very, very special candle lighting Christmas Eve. Well, thank you so much for fixing that. I would have blown that up. 5 o'clock. I even looked at the pastor and he said, yeah. So I feel, Lord, thank you, choir. They're always so good to keep me alive. 5 o'clock. Ooh, that's a good early time. Get you home to your families to enjoy all the Christmas Eve traditions and things that you do. So 5 o'clock, come back and worship with us this evening. Would you please stand together and let's sing about those angels. Oh, we're going to go ahead and sing. Then we'll do Miss Dottie. It's going to happen. Go ahead.
Thank you. this day, born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald.
Hark the herald angels sing.
Glory to.
Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise.
And welcome one another into the house of the Lord.
Showing you just little snippets, little video clips of places where the dollars that you've been giving and continue to give towards our $10,000 Lottie Moon Christmas offering goal are going to. We've taken you all around the world. This morning we're going to take you to the, I guess, Eastern Europe country right now in turmoil. But even with the turmoil that's going on there, God's work continues in the country of Ukraine.
Виїжджали на 10-й день війни І це був самий початок. Рішення прийняв чоловік відправити нас. Я їхала сама, вся родина залишилася вдома. Ми в безпеці, так. І, звичайно, перші слова чоловіку, що ми в безпеці вже. Все, ми на місці, ми у Польщі, нас добре прийняли.
Poland brought in the most refugees out of any country. And through that, the Lord opened the door for us to open a refugee center.
People stay in the house anywhere from 2 days to long term. We have one lady that's been there almost since it opened and is there currently.
Так, цей дім взагалі для мене став як другий дім, тому що ми майже рік тут. Холі, Крістін нас зустріла. Ну, тобто, реально так, я знову відчула, що я в безпеці. І мені необхідно було бути і серед людей, тому що, ну, також важкі часи, якось, ну, переживати це все разом було мені легше. Це наша друга мама, можна сказати.
We started a Bible study at the center. And one of the ladies one night was sharing with me that her family was against her studying religion or knowing anything about it. And she didn't know which one was true. And she said, so I just prayed and asked God if he would show me which one is true. Which one should I believe? What can I believe? But then the war happened and I came here. And she's like, and then I realized that God led me here and he led me to you. And so she's like, and now I get to study the Bible and now I can learn. Those are the days that you leave super encouraged about what the Lord is doing. So those are good days.
Thank you.
you, Jeff. What a beautiful family of musicians you and Julie Ann are, and Miss Dottie and Julian. What a great heritage of beautiful musicianship you have brought to this church and continue to minister to us. Thank you. Just talking to Julianne a while ago about what they were going to do tonight. All of us have some family traditions. They're going to have breakfast for Christmas Eve and then let the kids open some presents. Carol and I, our daughter is on the other side of the world, literally, but this afternoon we're going to get online with her and have Christmas, what do we call them? Santa hats. It's a drink made of ice cream and whipped cream and cherries on top with a little Santa hat. We'll do that with Lydia this afternoon. So whatever your family traditions are this evening, we hope that you'll come back again and be with us at 5 o'clock tonight. As we continue praising the Lord, there's a beautiful song by Paul Baloche called The Christmas Offering. I'd love for you to join us and sing with us. Would you stand together? This will be our offertory song this morning. Over the skies of Bethlehem appeared a star, while angels sang to lowly shepherds. Over the skies of Bethlehem appeared a star, while angels sang to lowly shepherds. Three wise men seeking truth traveled from afar, hoping to find the child from heaven. Falling on their knees, they bowed before the humble Prince of Peace. I bring an offering of worship to my King. Deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. I bring an offering. To the glory of your love. There is no shadow in your presence. No mortal man would dare to stand before your throne, before the Holy One of heaven. It's only by blood, and it's only through your mercy, Lord, I come. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're
each of those here. Father, thank you for this time of year. Thank you for for the reminder of having us focus on your Son who gave his life that we may have a relationship with you. Father, as we come to this time of the service, just please bless the gifts as well as the givers. Please bless it to the ongoing of thy service. In your name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, church family. So great to have you here. Merry Christmas Eve.
What a great, great place to spend this morning. I'm so glad you chose to spend this morning with us. You know, when I was a kid and somewhat into my adult years, I had this recurring dream that would happen. And before you try to psychoanalyze me, just hear me out. I don't know what this means. I don't know why it's happened. But I've had the same dream over the course of my life at least 7 times. And this dream goes something like this. I'm in a skate park. I don't know how to skateboard. I've tried a couple times, hurt myself every time. But I'm in a skate park. There's alligators everywhere. It's nighttime. Nothing happens in the dream. Very uneventful. But I'm there in the skate park. There's alligators everywhere. And then I wake up. And I ask myself every time, because again, I mean, first happened when I was like 4, 7, 10. This happened like 5 years ago. And I'm going, huh, what's wrong with me? You know, what does this mean? I'm praying, I'm going, God, are you trying to tell me something? Here's what I want to tell you this morning. Today, we are going to study this passage in Matthew chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up there. Matthew chapter 2, we're going to study this passage, and we've already seen in the book of Matthew that God has intervened through the means of a dream. And today we are going to see one of the greatest tragedies that has ever existed in all of mankind. But out of this tragedy, we're going to see that we serve the God who intervenes. If you're taking notes today, I want you to write that down. It's not part of the 3 points, but I want you to write that down. The God who intervenes. So here we are. We're in Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 18. By the way, I don't have any insight for you on that dream I just told you about. I don't know. If you interpret dreams, maybe come talk to me afterward. We'll figure it out. Unless it's really bad news, then probably don't share it with me. I'd rather live blissfully. Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 13 through 18. After they were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Get up, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and escaped to Egypt. He stayed there until Herod's death, so that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled. "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he realized he had been outwitted by the wise men, flew into a rage. He gave orders to massacre all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, in keeping with the time he had learned from the wise men. Then what was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be consoled because they are no more. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for your mercies that are new every single morning. God, thank you that you are the God who intervenes, that when everything is going astray and when everything is going so beyond what we can even comprehend, you come into the picture. Lord, you bring peace within the chaos, you bring order within the disorder, and you bring life within death. So, Father, this morning, as we celebrate the birth of your Son, as we celebrate all you have done, remind us this morning that it was great tragedy that happened around your birth, and yet there is still eternal life offered anyway. God, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to say, please, Lord, have your way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's what's going on. The wise men had come to visit Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. And they were sent there with a purpose, right? King Herod sent them and said, tell me where the child is so that I may worship him also. And what we saw last week was that God warned the wise men in a dream, don't go back to King Herod. He's wicked. Don't go back there. And so now the wise men go away, and now we see again another dream where God speaks into the lives of his people to protect them. So here's point number one today. If you're taking notes, I hope you are. Point number one is get up, so he got up. Get up, so he got up. Look what happens here in verse 13 and 14. After they were gone, the wise men, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Get up, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to kill him." Let's pause here. Have you ever doubted if God knows the hearts of man? You shouldn't. Because right here is a demonstration. God knows exactly what Herod's intentions are. Herod's intentions are wicked and devious, and he is doing everything he can to secure his throne. And anyone who brings any sort of threat to his throne, he's going to wipe them out, or he's going to try. Verse 14, so he got up, this is Joseph, took the child and his mother during the night, and escaped to Egypt. Here's what I want to point out to you here in point number one. Joseph was given a command from the Lord, and he immediately obeyed. Get up, so he got up. Get up, so he got up. It is vital, right? Think about this. Now, we don't often think about obedience to the Lord as life or death, right? In this scenario, if Joseph had delayed in obeying the Lord, even if he obeyed but did it later, I mean, it could have been Jesus' life, right? It could have been his family's life that was removed, right? And in all of this, Joseph's obedience to God immediately is going to lead to the salvation of all mankind. I like to believe, now this is Brandon's opinion, okay? So take this for what it is. I like to believe that God would not have let Jesus die even if Herod had found him. Because Jesus knew his time was coming. He knew exactly the time would come when he was to give his life. It's also why when he was performing miracles, people were plotting to kill him and he went away for a little bit, right? Because it wasn't his time yet to die. I like to believe that God would intervene. Here's what we see. God did intervene, right? Remember at the beginning of all this, I told you we serve the God who intervenes. What does it mean to intervene? It means you insert yourself somewhere where you didn't initially belong, but things are better now because you're there. Some people may call that nosy. Some people may call that annoying. When God does it, it's the best thing that can ever happen for your life. Verse 15. He stayed there until Herod's death so that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled. Out of Egypt, I called my son. Here's point number two today. Racing through these, I know. Point number two is, out of Egypt, I called my son. Do you think there's any significance to Jesus being in Egypt? Do you think there's any significance to the prophecy, out of Egypt I called my son? Of course there is. What happened? Well, I mean, think about before Jesus' death and resurrection. What was the most redemptive work God had done? It was rescuing his people from slavery in Egypt. He brought his people out of Egypt. And after that, he reminded them time and time and time again, I am the God who brought you out of Egypt. I am the God who brought you out of Egypt. It's redemption. It's death to life. Now, Jesus is coming out of Egypt. What does this mean? Jesus is life. I think I said death from life earlier. Life from death. Jesus is the ultimate redemption God can give us. That's why it's significant he's coming out of Egypt. There's a parallel here. We were rescued from slavery 400 years in Egypt. Now the Savior of the world has come out of Egypt as well. Is there any significance in Egypt itself? Not necessarily. The significance is being brought out of an oppressive situation. The oppressive situation that the Israelites were dealing with in the time that they were brought out of Egypt was slavery. The oppressive issue that people are dealing with when Jesus, the Christ child, is born is sin and death. And there's redemption. Out of Egypt I called my son, which means this. The writer of Matthew is making very clear and very plain. If you know the Old Testament text and you're reading Matthew's claims here in Matthew chapter 2, you're going, there's some sort of relation between Jesus coming out of Egypt and us coming out of Egypt. Yes, it's redemption. It's redemption. Verse 16. Then Herod, when he realized that he had been outwitted by the wise men, flew into a rage. He gave orders to massacre all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, in keeping with the time he had learned from the wise men. Here's point number three. He had learned from the wise men. He had learned from the wise men. Do you think the wise men, when they shared this news with Herod, had any idea how Herod would manipulate that information? No. They didn't have a clue. The wise men were acting as they should have. They were respecting and obeying their authority. They were worshiping the Christ child. All they wanted to do was to do right by the Lord. And it got twisted and it got manipulated. And King Herod is going to use it to slaughter an entire city and elsewhere of young boys. I think when we think about Christmas,
It's really easy for us to focus on the manger scene, and yes, that is a good thing to focus on. But we also need to remember that there were countless lives lost during this time. Little boys, right? Parents lost their sons. Brothers and sisters, sisters lost their brothers, right? I mean, this is a tragedy among all tragedies. And in the midst of this, and in the midst of King Herod's wickedness and all the evil he has tried to do, something amazing is going to happen. Here's what it says in verse 17 and 18. Then what was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be consoled because they are no more. Here's what's happening in Matthew chapter 2. Here's what Jeremiah 31:15 is alluding to here. The world has gotten so, so broken. The world has been so, so torn. There is such wickedness and depravity here. No more. God is going to send his son, himself, the Christ child, the Savior of the world, the one we've been waiting for. He's here. And in the midst of this great mourning, and in the midst of inconsolable grief, Jesus is going to be everything we thought he was going to be, and so much more. Do you think when the Christ child was born and they saw all these other little boys being killed, they said, this isn't even worth it? This isn't even worth it. Why would we care about a Christ child when all these little boys lost their lives, all these families lost their children? What is the purpose of this, God? The purpose is that the world is wicked, but God is so good, and God intervenes. God comes where it seems like he doesn't belong. In a world of wickedness, the good, perfectly good God is going to come in and make his presence known. The Christ child is going to be here in the midst of the wickedness. He's going to live the perfect life that you and I could never dream of living. No recurring dream about being in a skate park with alligators can ever compare to the dream God gave Joseph when he said, take this child to Egypt. Out of Egypt I have brought my son. Jesus is going to live the perfect life, sinless life, tempted in every way just as we are, yet without sin. He's going to die. He's going to be crucified on a cruel Roman cross, a death that he doesn't deserve. They're going to accuse God himself of blasphemy, right? God speaking against God. And they're going to hang him on the cross. And he's going to breathe. And he's going to say, it is finished. What is finished? Look at verse 18. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children. And she refused to be consoled because they are no more. What is finished? This. All the weeping, all the mourning, all the sin, all the inconsolability, all of this is completely gone because now Jesus has taken what was evil and used it for good. Jesus has taken what was wicked and used it for the salvation of the world. Now here's what we got to consider as we come to a close this morning. When we don't put our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, what we're really doing is we are taking for granted the sacrifices that were made along the way. No, I'm not trying to manipulate you into saying those little boys died and you're taking that for granted, but they did. I'm not trying to manipulate you and say, oh, let's do an emotional appeal and get you to accept Christ. The point is this. Jesus gave everything. And everyone in their worldly power tried to stop him from dying at just the right time for the ungodly. Romans says this, that Jesus at the right time died for us. It means that if Jesus had died any sooner or any later, it wouldn't have been the right time. In just the right moment,
Jesus gave his life for you and for me. And the Bible says this, that if we believe in our hearts that God, that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and we believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. What does it mean to be saved? It's just like the people of Israel being brought out of Egypt. It's just like Jesus going to Egypt so that he wasn't slaughtered along with all the other young boys. Salvation is being brought out of death into life. And this morning, you have an opportunity, if you have never trusted in Jesus Christ. And look, I know it's Christmas Eve. We got family here. We got some people I recognize, some people I don't. I don't assume anyone believes in Jesus. I'm always going to make the effort to tell you, believe in Jesus, because if you don't, I don't want to take for granted and just assume you did. If you have never trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let today be a reminder. Let the birth of Jesus be a reminder of the death and rebirth of Jesus. That if we believe in him, we also will be born again, saved. And there will be no more mourning, there will be no more crying, there will be no more weeping. And the ultimate comforter, God himself, will dwell within us forevermore. In a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. Brother John and I will both be up here. If you'd like to pray, if you'd like to place your trust in Christ, if you'd like to maybe join our church, all of these are options for you. If you'd just like to sing praises, we encourage you to do that too. However God is leading you to respond in this moment, do so. Just like Joseph was commanded, get up, and he got up. Whatever God's speaking to you to do, I pray that you'll do it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to come and worship you, the opportunity to be in your presence, in the presence of other believers. Lord, I just pray that this morning that you are prompting us to respond in whatever way you please. Lord, as we sing these songs of praise to you, may we just remember the sacrifices that were made to get here. And Lord, thank you for intervening in our lives. Lord, there was a time in my life where I wanted nothing to do with you, and you stepped in. Thank you, God, for stepping in. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you all stand?
Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. We'll praise his name forever. We'll praise his name forever.
Church, thank you so much for being here today. Thank you for spending your Christmas Eve morning with us, as our other staff members have said, I so encourage you to attend our candlelight service tonight at 5. That will be a sweet, sweet time of worship. Encourage you to come back at 5. If you have any questions about that, come see us. We'd love to talk with you about that. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for this time to worship you. Lord, I pray that you keep us all safe and bring us back together soon. And I pray that you'd help us enjoy this time with family and that we would worship you by loving each other well. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.